Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Anihedra Podcast featuring myself, Dashing, who hopefully fixes audio recording issues because, you know, I'm an idiot. And, you know, my good friend Kiwi. We're two idiots blundering on about sports. Hello, Keezy. How's he going? You like that? You like that one?
I loved it. Yeah. Hopefully, also, my audio is a little bit better since we've been kind of imbalanced, I feel like. So, obviously, new little setup for me if you're watching on YouTube here. So, hopefully, I'm a little bit better as well. But, hope everybody's doing all right. The NFL is heating up. The NHL is finally here, and the NBA is also preparing, and that makes for a lot of sports news. So let's get into it, shall we?
Oh yeah, and we are jumping right in to some baseball news. David Bell, 6 seasons as the Cincy Reds manager, done, ousted, kaputs, Dunsky.
Unsurprising. The Reds suck.
76 and 81 this season, 82 and 80 last season, 62 and 100 one season earlier. You know, some might call them the Chicago White Sox, but I call them the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh my god. Honestly, what's more impressive, or like what stands out to me more than this firing, because everybody was like kind of like, oh, the Reds suck, is the fact that there's another manager in that division that still holds his position that should have been gone a long time ago. And for all you folks who aren't picking up on my drift, that's the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
They need a big change over there. But this ain't about them. It's about the Reds. No manager. We'll keep our eye on who it's going to be next. We think in a previous player, probably.
I could see a player sliding in there. I could see somebody. I mean,
I heard that Joey Votto's available.
I also heard that. I was literally just about to be like, and you know, Joey Votto is looking for a job. I feel like we were literally just saying that too.
Literally just talking just about it when he announced his retirement. Yeah. So, I mean,
Alex Cora,
it's good timing right here. He retires. There's a position open. That's all I'm going to say.
You know, another player who kind of took the jump to management, Derek Jeter, also took to management.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, there's a little history here of like good players who spent a long time someplace or, you know, another place and just slid right into management. And it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what hasn't been pretty good?
Oh my God.
The Athletics.
Yes, the previously Oakland A's, who are now going to be the Las Vegas Athletics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for all of you who didn't see the viral photo going around, they designed a new baseball cap for team merch, and it literally just says ass.
Good old ass hats, bro.
it's the A's logo repeated 3 times. But the way that they did the gradient, it lines up and it literally just says ass.
So good. So
iconic. Honestly, good. I might pick one up just for the memes.
Honestly, next pod, you might see us both like,
I might see us with ass hats on. We're going to have ass hats on. We're going to be ass hats.
God damn.
Oh my gosh. You know who's not an ass hat though? And sure. We're still talking about him, but I do want to take a branch off of this, though.
Yeah, yeah,
Ohtani,
yeah.
Possible 60-60. That's who we're talking about, by the way. He's a. Do we have a current count right now?
I do. 53 home runs, 56 stolen bases.
All right, so almost at the 60 stolen bases already. Easily going to get that. Like we said, they have the Rockies coming up for quite a few games here, so that's going to be the time that he will shine.
They got four games left.
Four games. Three of those against the Rockies.
Mm-hmm. One of them is today, the 26th against the Padres.
Obviously, you know, he's incredible. I don't need to say that. I don't need to tell anybody that. Everybody knows it. But I do wanna reel it back a little bit. I know we've talked about this player a lot, but I don't think we have really this is gonna segue us into the next point here. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've really given Mr. Aaron Judge enough credit where it's due.
I think he's
legitimately just playing better than Shohei Ohtani.
I tend to agree with you, and I honestly think that thank God that AL and NL split their MVP votes, because I don't think you can look at a sport like baseball and just say, this is the guy that is the best in the league. And I'm so infinitely happy that they split it up between the two, AL and NL MVP, because goddamn, how difficult would it be to pick between Judge and Ohtani?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's hard. So it's a good, it's a really good thing, which ironically, though, well, we'll get into this in a minute. but my picks for the respective MVPs might surprise you. But I do want to definitely shout out Aaron Judge a little bit. I mean, the man's going crazy right now with home runs. He's also playing on the defensive side of the ball, something that Ohtani's not doing since he's just DHing the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I guess we can get into him right now. Do you want to lead off, or you want me to lead off?
I mean, sure thing. I was a little bit in between for my AL selection, and honestly, I still am a little bit, because I could see it going kind of either way, you know, between Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt Jr. I think that, you know, Bobby as shortstop for the Royals has been just absolute superstar player for them this year, just like indispensable is the word I was looking for. And, you know, he's a massive reason why, you know, that team is in the position that it's in, you know, not quite into the playoffs yet because they're trying to scrape out that second wild card slot, but he's definitely a proponent of why they are in that position to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I had him as my silver slugger.
You did. Yeah, you did. And I think,
but I don't think he wins that out now. I think I think the Royals have kind of slowed down enough that.
Yeah, I think it's safe to assume, you know, like I am between Witt and Judge, but I do think Judge is the better player. I think he is, you know, a bigger power hitter. He is better. I mean, I think, you know, you can make a case for one or the other, you know, center field to shortstop, one or the other, which one's more important. But I think that, you know, the work that Judge has done on the offense, the work that he's done on the defense, has been a lot more than what Bobby Witt Jr. has done for the Royals to try and keep them head above water, trying to keep them in a playoff spot.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's, I mean, he's definitely rocking out.
So, National League, Mr. Pop-Tart.
This National is where my pick League. Gets a little bit spicier, but I'll let you continue with the leadoff here.
So, leading into the National League, I mean, it's really no secret who my guy is. It's Shohei Ohtani. Bro is a fucking monster. He is a superstar. He is a legend in the making. You know, the only travesty is that they haven't won the World Series yet this year, which I think that the Dodgers are going to do. I think that, you know, he's really led that team. He's really just kind of powered through that team. You know, we were throwing around generational team a few weeks ago, and I think that that's not that far off considering all the talent that they do have on that roster. And I think the Shohei Ohtani, you know, despite all that talent, really does just stand head and shoulders above the others. And he's not even pitching this year, as we've said previously, which is blows my mind what he's done as just a designated hitter.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you cannot just shy away from what he's doing. However,
mm-hmm. Lay it on me.
He is not my NL selection. My NL selection is Paul Skeens.
Interesting.
I don't think he wins. Like, it's an either or, right? He either wins Rookie of the Year or he wins MVP, right? I don't even think they're eligible to win both, are they? Are they even eligible to win MVP in their first season? Do I have to take this back?
I don't know. I mean, I know that he's not even on the list of, like, odds to win it. Like, Fox Sports has put out some
maybe,
odds.
Maybe rookies aren't eligible because they're eligible for Rookie of the Year. So if that's the case, then I will take that back, and Ohtani will be my selection.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean,
Castellanos.
Our home run tragedy king.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh my god.
No kidding.
Jeez. But yeah, I mean, Ohtani is definitely, I feel like, you know, he's a great, great pick for, you know, NL MVP. If you're betting on it, you know, go to DraftKings, pick Ohtani for that MVP slot. Book it. You know, you could also take, you know, Francisco Lindor, you know, Marcelo Ozuna. You know, if you're really feeling like they could definitely do it. Marcel Ozuna is also a designated hitter. Francisco Lindor as a shortstop for the Mets. So, you know, I think that if you're comparing, you know, designated hitters, you know, Ohtani's got Ozuna beat out. But Francisco Lindor, much like Bobby Witt Jr., is kind of like in that spot at shortstop where it's like he's trying his damnedest for that team, but is he really, you know, keeping that team there? But then again, it's the Mets, and they are, you know, in the position that they are this year, which is
honorable mention to Judge's partner of Juan Soto as
Juan
well
Soto,
for the,
yep.
on the American side.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I would even throw this maybe is the Boston side of me coming out, but I would throw Rafi Devers on there, even though he's not playing the full season.
Yeah, Rafi Devers.
I feel like he's definitely been very solid for us.
Yeah, yeah. That's
having a good career year for sure.
Yeah, out of right field. You know, plus 10,000 for AL MVP.
Shoot, at this point, if I'm just gonna say wild things like this too, ought to just throw Tyler O'Neill on there for Silver Slugger.
Jesus, oh my god, all right, relax. But you know, if we're gonna throw things out there, how about the Ravens having King Henry, Derrick Henry on the roster already? You know, we're switching over to sports. Boom, boom, we switch like that, bang, right over to football. Justice Hill, 2-year extension, 2 years, $6 million.
Honestly, I mean, it's a solid depth piece for him. I don't know too much about him, to be honest, which is kind of embarrassing, I suppose, but I'm sure it'll work out nicely for them.
Not a whole lot. You know, he is the backup. You know, he ranks third in rushing yards on the team. You know, just 25 rushing yards in 62 through two games, so not much to shake a stick at.
Right.
But
he's kind of just there for, you know, the snaps that
Henry
isn't going to take, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So when he gets the call, he's up, you know, but honestly, with a guy like Derrick Henry on the team, who's never going to leave the goddamn field, unless you're passing the ball, in which case, okay, then you put, you know, maybe Justice Hill in. But even then,
right.
It's like, not really.
Yeah, you're not going to see much of him. So this, I mean, obviously it's a cheap deal short term. So yeah, it's just there is some depth.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of depth, our boy Krispy Kreme signed to the 53 man, elevated up.
He's there. I still don't think he's going to see a lot of playing time. He might get, you know, some break time in. They might give him a shot or two, you know, late in the game, just see what he has left in the tank. But I still do think that, you know, Samaje Perine and Carson Steele over on the Kansas City Chiefs, they're just going to dominate the snaps. And I feel like, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming back soon, they don't need to keep all those running backs.
Honestly, I could see them kind of maybe using him as a receiving back instead.
They might.
Just kind of giving him some of those option plays, just a little cut across the middle and little toss, you know? A little pitch to the outside.
I could see it happen. I mean, they desperately need receivers out there, and,
I don't think he really has been everyone to fumble that often. So
not
obviously
really.
He's got good hands.
He's got pretty good hands. But you know, running backs, they do need a good offensive line, right? And the Steelers, you know, they struggle sometimes with their offensive line and their running backs and their running game, but they definitely took a massive hit with their right tackle, Troy Fautanu. I'm probably butchering that name.
I think that's right. That sounds right to me.
Fautanu, yeah. But he has got put on injury reserve, and they have said out indefinitely as of right now while they're evaluating the knee. What do you think about that?
I think this is a I think this is a 3-1 Justin Fields Steeler team incoming. I don't foresee them to continue winning too many games without a key piece of their offensive line.
I also am not too keen on that. He suffered an MCL sprain, I guess, in the first half of the Steelers opening preseason game, and it just has not righted the ship since. So they finally threw him on the IR and they're getting it evaluated. I really hope it's nothing serious. If it's just an MCL sprain or like a tear of some kind,
hopefully just like a bad sprain, yeah,
you know, then I feel like they could get away with it. But, you know, hopefully it's nothing serious and we get him back on the field pretty soon, because I think that the Steelers, you know, have something going with Justin Fields. And I feel like the longer that they keep working on Fields and, you know, stay away from Russell Wilson, the better.
The Bears fans will punch the air.
Exactly. But keeping on this injury train, oh boy, San Francisco, Kiwi. Holy crap. We could have sat here and reported on injuries all goddamn day. This is a shout out to that one guy who called you a casual take on the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, but, casual take.
Casual take on the Niners. McCaffrey flew to Germany over the weekend, Kiwi. And he visited a specialist for his Achilles tendonitis. Oh, God. He's out for, quote, months.
This is like Aaron Rodgers level Achilles injury without actually tearing the thing. Like, is he done for this season? We'll find out.
He's probably,
I mean, the dude's in crazy good shape, but like, it's your Achilles. You can't rush that.
How did
that's how your whole leg functions.
How did they not know that it was this bad before game one? He was a game time decision before the first game of the season.
I almost wonder if he's been like stressing it.
Maybe.
By like taking like reps or doing practice or whatever. He's like stressing it out, you know? And it's just making it worse.
I mean, the 49ers rely on him very desperately. They rely on him, Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle a lot because they need to.
They're all out.
And they're all injured.
They're all injured.
So, you know, I don't know where the 49ers go from here. I don't know what kind of team they are from here. I feel like you don't go
overrated.
See,
that's what kind of team they are.
I don't think you go to Germany unless it's serious.
Yeah, that's definitely something big going on with him, and hopefully it doesn't keep him out the whole season, but it's not looking good so far.
No, and I mean, despite the fact that, you know, I think we can both agree that the 49ers are overrated. I also think that, and I don't think that that's a casual take. I feel like that is kind of a hot take considering all the praise that they get, you know, in the media and stuff like that.
Everybody that's, you know,
super high on them.
Giving them the double wrister.
Exactly. But I think I would like to see them win a Super Bowl. I think I would like to see McCaffrey get a ring before his time in the league is done. But
I'd like to see him get a ring on a different team.
You know, that might not be out of the question.
Him and George Kittle, move them both somewhere else.
That might not be out of the question.
Or get him a different quarterback that's actually good.
That might also happen if things don't get right. Do they stick with Purdy? That's another, that might be an on a heater take pretty soon.
I heard Russell Wilson's looking for a new job.
Oh my God. Maybe Miami will give Russell a call.
Oh my God. Tom Brady to the San Francisco 49ers. New hot take.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, I think it's time, Kiwi, for the prime time preheated prime time preview. I don't know what I was doing.
Cue the laser music intro.
Wah, wah, wah. You know, the whole thing. It's not going to have air horns. It's not.
No, it's just going to be dashing going womp womp.
Yeah, womp womp, preheated. Womp womp, prime time. Womp womp, preview.
I hope you all enjoyed that. I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah. Everybody on YouTube saw the little the motions.
The little head bobs.
Yeah, yeah. The little head bobs.
Oh my god.
So we're just gonna rip through these. Tonight, Thursday, this is recording 6:22 PM Eastern Standard Time.
We're early tonight on this.
We are early.
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 Got a whole 2 hours.
Dallas, New York.
Giants.
New York Giants. New York Giants. That is the specification there too, New York.
Yeah.
Games. Thank you.
8:15 Amazon. I mean, it's the Giants.
It's the Giants.
So this is easily the Cowboys here. I say easily, but this is probably gonna be like the worst game we've watched all season.
Honestly, no kidding. So you want to know?
And that's saying something because we've had to watch Will Levis for 3 weeks.
I am going to lay down a fun fact for you today. Are you ready?
Oh boy, here we go.
In the Daniel Jones era of the New York Giants, he is winless on games that are not played on Sunday. This man is 0-13.
Can't win a primetime game to save his life.
Can't do it. And that's why I think the Dallas Cowgirls are... I almost called them Cowboys. I'm calling them Cowgirls from now on until they prove me otherwise. the Dallas Cowgirls are... I think they're going to get a win here tonight. I think they're going to get a win. I think that's that's an easy gimme.
It's tough for me to say that Mike McCarthy is going to get a win, but he'll be gone eventually, and then I'll actually care about the Cowboys a little bit. Just a little bit.
The
not
reverse,
too much. I don't want to inflate their egos.
The reverse Cowgirls.
Oh, my God. But, I think that's the Giants.
That is the Giants.
You got the Cowgirls and the reverse Cowgirls tonight.
Buffalo and Baltimore, Sunday night, 8:20 PM, NBC or Peacock. Buffalo, I think I'm kind of in between. I was kind of leaning towards Baltimore there, but actually I think I'm gonna lean into this Buffalo train. I feel like they've been kind of killing it lately, and I think that Baltimore has just not been with it for some reason. Like every time I watch a Baltimore game, it just feels
Do you want me to elaborate on that?
Yeah.
There's a very big similarity, but a very slight difference between these teams.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
The similarity is that these teams, their quarterbacks can do it all.
Yeah.
But the difference is that Baltimore doesn't support Lamar at all.
That's true.
Josh Allen actually gets a little bit of support from the Bills.
That's true.
I'm also on the Bills for Sunday night. I don't trust this Baltimore team at all.
Okay. This next one, Monday Night Football, this is going to be a stinker on ESPN. 7:30 PM.
Honestly,
can I just say, before
I might
you get
bet
this,
like the under like 3 points on this game.
I am also going to bet the under.
I think it's
going to
be like a safety 2-0 game. That's going to be it.
Can I just say, before we give our guess on who's going to win this absolute stinker, I am so unbelievably happy that the NFL has decided to do these double headers on Monday.
Oh my god, yeah, because the second game is so much better.
It's always better. And there's always like It's like they knew that they were going to have stinkers and that they knew that they had to give some of these crap bag teams, you know, the spotlight. And they were like, "You know what? Let's double this up. We'll double header this, so when one of these games inevitably blows chunks, they'll have another game to watch."
Yep, exactly. And they'll make the better one on the second game.
At 8:15.
So it's like you have to watch the nightmare, and then you get a little bit of reprieve, and you actually get to watch a decent game.
Well, it's more like, you know, dinner just started. All right, we'll finish eating dinner, you know, maybe
watch this
like...
on in the next room over on in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, dinner's over. All right, time to go in for the next game. Let's turn it up.
Yeah, let's check that out. I am not going to lie to you. I think Tennessee gets out of the winless bucket here. I think Tennessee beats Skylar Thompson into the ground. I don't think that it's going to be close, but I don't think it's going to be far. I think it's going to be a one score game, and that's still not going to be close because
I think it's going to be a fat 9-6. No touchdowns.
No touchdowns. I honestly,
I might take the bet on no touchdowns.
That's honestly not a bad take. I might bet. I'm definitely.
I feel like Will Levis is good for one.
He is good for one. He's also
good
for
pick
like six.
Three interceptions and then like two fumbles.
Well, I wonder what's
and then like 25% completion.
I wonder what his hallmark moment of the game is going to be. What's his position going to be this week? Is he going to be hand behind the heads screaming? Is he going to be diving trying to flip the ball? Is somebody going to be landing on him? Is he going to be doing like the crotch grab?
I think he's going to be like doggy. He's going to be posted up like doggy, and there's going to be a defensive lineman for Miami just like behind him, just like clawing at him. And it's just going to look like he's just really drilling it into him. And that's going to be it. Oh, and Will Levis is going to have fumbled the ball. So it's going to be like shot off to the side a little bit.
That man is a meme machine. I swear to God.
He's got more memes than he has touchdowns.
He does.
Well, okay. Then offensive touchdowns. He has more pick sixes than he has memes.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm also in Tennessee, though. All memes aside, I mean, at least Will Levis is half a quarterback. Skylar Thompson isn't.
Yeah, no.
I don't even know his freaking name.
He doesn't even exist on my radar. I think he was drafted like...
Was he undrafted? I feel like he was undrafted.
Skylar Thompson, I think he was drafted last year, I want to say, or 2 years ago. No, he was drafted in 22. Round 7, pick 26.
Oh, almost Mr. Irrelevant.
Almost Mr. Irrelevant. You want to know who was Mr. Irrelevant last year?
Don't even get me fucking started.
Brock Purdy.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Yeah.
I don't care. I knew that's where you were going with that. Seattle and Detroit, second Monday game, much better. If you don't have Detroit here, you're a fool.
You're insane.
Seattle is definitely I think they're a very big surprise team this year. Like, I did not expect Seattle to be as solid as they are.
They are a surprise team, but, you know, they still went to overtime with the Patriots, and I'm sorry, the Patriots just aren't it. You know, I feel like have clawed their way to the area that they are, but I don't think Seattle is close to these upper echelon teams, and I think it's safe to say that Detroit is an upper echelon team right now, and I think, you know, that sick uniform that they're going to be wearing, those black and blue, bro. Oh my god. I could fucking watch that all night. I'm going to watch that the whole game. I'm going to watch that whole game.
Just thinking about those uniforms got me in doggy style like Will Levis. Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord. Anyways. safe to assume we're both taking Detroit on that game. Yeah, we got to have some differentiation here, Kiwi. Right. We can't just guess the same teams.
Well, I remind you that I am, in fact, still winning. So that's up to you.
You are winning. Yeah, that's true.
You got to catch up somehow. You'll never catch me if we keep predicting this game.
That's true.
Maybe that's my strategy.
I think this next one will have a little bit of differentiation. LA Rams, Chicago Bears. Who you got?
I got the Chicago Bears.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
I think Williams is heating up. These don't count, though, Dashing. These are prime time.
I know.
I think Williams is finally heating up. Maybe the offensive line figures themselves out after we held open tryouts for literally anybody off the street to come learn how to freaking play offensive line and probably do it better. Mm-hmm. And I think the Rams are plagued by way too many injuries right now for vital players.
I think the Rams are plagued by a lot of injuries right now for vital players, as you just said, but my pick is the Rams because I really think that they are a pretty good football team, regardless of the fact that they do have those injuries. They still have Matt Stafford. They still have Kyron Williams. I think that they are still not a top tier team, but they're an upper echelon team. I think that they are right on the outside of great. I think that the Bears right now with Caleb Williams are not great. They are getting it rolling, don't get me wrong, but Caleb is still new. He's still young, and the Rams
still figuring it out.
The Rams defense is pretty damn good. So I think that they are going to spook him a little bit.
All right, I do think we probably both have the same pick for this one. No way. All right, we don't. I almost actually decided to go New England on this versus the 49ers here.
Yeah.
Just solely because I think that San Francisco has the same issue that the Rams do with way too many injuries right now.
The 49ers.
But at the end of the day, I don't know, man. I still think the 49ers win it. They're at home. It's, I don't know.
They're at home. Jennings went off last week. You know, Mason has been amazing at running. I think that, you know, if you took an anytime touchdown bet on either of those guys, even a multi-touchdown performance from Brock Purdy, you're probably going to get a hit. But I think that we're going to see an anomaly game. I think that Brock Purdy is going to not live up to his expectations this week in Levi Stadium. And I think that the Patriots are going to walk away with a spicy little 13-10 kind of win, just like against the Bengals. I feel like they're going to squeak one out somehow. I feel like the defense really gave up against an elite quarterback like Aaron Rodgers last week. And I think that this week we're going to see a very, very different team, because Brock Purdy is not Aaron Rodgers. And I think that the, you know, the kind of break that the Patriots got to take, you know, they had a short week going into last Thursday, but now they get the extra little breather here. And I feel like the defense is going to step up. They don't like getting punched in the mouth.
I would love to be wrong on this and for you to be right on this one.
And you know what's even better? If they go 2-2, and if it is a disgusting win from the Patriots, we might see Drake May come in to a nice, even 2-2 team facing a dilapidated Miami Dolphins.
And throw it all the way down to 2-15. That'll be nuts.
I mean,
stay tuned for that.
Honestly, I don't think we're going to see a 2-15 record, but
I don't think you guys see 500. I don't think you see 2-15.
I see a path to 7.
I see, like,
a path to 7 wins.
You
call
think
7
and 10?
Call me delusional fandom, but I see a path to 7. And I'm willing to talk about that at a later time and date.
I'm going to hit a 5 and 12.
I could see that. I could see a swing for 5 and 12. We can talk about this.
Did you guys finish last year? Did you guys finish 2 and 15 last year?
3 and 14, I think.
3
yeah.
and 14, yeah, I think that's right.
Because Ryland's field goal against the Broncos. Anyway, I have a whole thing about that. Jaden Daniels should have been a Patriot. Anyway.
Oh my god. All right. Well, anyways, let's get into actual. Well, you guys could have had Caleb Williams, but
they
could have
had
Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, thank you, Carolina.
Let's get into some actual sports.
Actual sports. Some playoff sports, you mean, with the WNBA?
Yeah, the WNBA. Our favorite as of late topic, which may just become its own category.
Honestly,
depending on maybe for next season. We'll see.
Kind of leaning into it. It's honestly been a good talking point.
Hope you guys are all enjoying it. If you guys are enjoying the W stuff, please let us know.
No, absolutely. Because, I mean, I'm enjoying it. You're enjoying it. So why
I'm
not?
Loving it. I'm betting on W now all the time. I'm loving it. I caught the second game of the Seattle Storm Las Vegas Aces.
Nice.
Caught that whole game. That was high intensity. I honestly was not expecting how high intensity these women's games are.
I watched a little bit of the Lynx game the other night too. Nafisa Collier's game, which we'll talk about in a second.
We're going to talk about here in a second. Yeah.
But first up, Phoenix Mercury, Rebecca Allen is going to miss the rest of the postseason with a back injury.
Well, good thing for her. The postseason's
already
done.
Postseason's over.
Yeah, so this news came out literally at like the start of the postseason. And
which
then
is,
by the time that we got to report it, the postseason for the Phoenix Mercury is
done.
So,
but I mean, you want to know why it's over? It's because Nafisa Collier put up 42 points in the win in game two.
So, tied the single playoff game record for most points in a game. 42. I can't remember the name of who she tied, but she is on an absolute heater right now.
She's absolutely killing it. She tied Breonna Stewart and Angel McCautry for the 42-point record. So it's a three-way tie right now, boys and girls. And Breonna Stewart was fucking phenomenal. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're going to get into some people who are absolutely phenomenal here in a minute, because we're going to go over our old second-round preview. But, yeah, we did see some teams head out. Obviously, we talked about the Phoenix Mercury headed out. Mm-hmm. We saw the Indiana Fever leave, unfortunately, for Caitlin Clark. We saw the Seattle Storm leave, and we saw the Atlanta Dream leave, who we all knew that was going to happen. But
one thing about basketball, yeah. I will say, is that even it's even true in women's basketball. It always feels like it's a very top heavy league. So it almost feels like these first rounds are just formalities to move on to the next round. Which is a little sad, but unsurprising. So, you know, when we look at the brackets of, like, you know, the NBA, the WNBA, and it goes 1, 2, 3, 4 into the second round, it's like, kind of saw that coming, didn't
unsurprising,
I?
Unsurprising, yeah.
Didn't I?
Yeah. I could maybe see it changing up a little bit as we get into a couple expansion drafts here in the next few years.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe evening out a little bit more. Yeah. You're definitely still going to have, like, your top-tier teams. You're gonna have your New York, your Vegas's, your Minnesota's, you know.
I feel like it's kind of true year to year, you know, whatever team is on top is gonna go deep in the playoffs. And I mean, that's just a case of them being the best team in the league. You know,
right.
It doesn't feel like football or hockey or baseball where you could be the best team in the league, but you can still get beat.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, and do you think if these series were more than three game best of three series that we would maybe see some closer series in the early rounds?
No, because basketball, NBA basketball is best of seven through and through. And a lot of those early series are usually blowout wins. It very rarely do we ever see game seven in the first round. Those are usually, you know, round two, round three, you know, kind of deals. I mean, occasionally you'll see a game six, game five, but game five is probably the most common, or game six. It very rarely goes to game seven. And when it's, you know, when it's a game six, it doesn't even feel like it's a real game six. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. But, all right, let's get into this. This is going to be a little bit of a preheated playoffs preview. How about that one?
Yeah, bro. Okay. All right.
How about that one?
Preheated playoff predictions.
So, I would love to start out by saying our apologies to
Asia Wilson.
W fans and Asia Wilson. Yeah. We have been mispronouncing her name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I am truly sorry. But trust me, watching that Seattle Vegas game, I made sure I got it right in the time because they were saying her name like crazy.
A lot.
She is nuts.
And so, you know, I'm gonna stick with my Ana Heater take from last week. I think Vegas is gonna beat the New York Liberty.
You're stealing my Ana Heater take.
Yeah, that's
I said that the Vegas was the best team in the W right now.
I know you turned my heat up a little bit to say that, but I did say that I didn't think that the New York Liberty were the best team in the playoffs.
That's true.
I did say that.
Yeah, so, that's true. You also didn't say that the Aces were better than them, though. You said that Minnesota was.
That's for next round.
That's for next round. So I also have the Aces. I think Asia Wilson is just on an absolute slaughter fest right now.
Oh, yeah.
She cannot be stopped.
There is
no stopping her.
And you know what the best part about this is this is going up to a 5-game series from 3 games.
Yeah.
It's going up to 5
games. So we get even more Asia Wilson.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, the New York Liberty are good. They're a very great team. but I think the Vegas Aces, they just ran it back last year. Come on, give me the three-peat. Give me the fucking three-peat.
So, okay, well, here's my opinion, too, is that New York just absolutely breezed through Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Not really any contest whatsoever.
No issues.
Vegas had to fight for those two wins against Seattle.
They
I think they're heated up.
They are definitely, you know,
they're in the zone right now.
I always feel this way about, you know, WNBA teams, even NBA, any sports really. You know, when you have to get into a dogfight to win your games, you are usually better off than any of these teams that kind of blow them out. It's so true, isn't it, though? Because, like, you look at it, you look at, like, the NHL, for instance. So we'll just take that for our test subject. It feels like in the playoffs, when a team wins a seven-game series and then they go up against a team that has just won in a sweep, the team that just won the seven-game series usually blows the doors off of the team that swept.
So I'm going to agree with you to an extent, mm-hmm. I think, and we'll get more into this like later, probably in the when the NHL playoffs come around again. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you to an extent. I think whenever they come into that, both teams come in just like that. One has fought a tough game seven. One has basically blown out the other team. Yeah. I think that team that's fought that game seven, they come in and they for sure, usually it's a slaughter fest game one.
Yeah.
Most of the time they get a solid win game two, but I feel like at that point the momentum falls off. I don't really believe in momentum when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Because I think every night is so different. The way they can change those lines around makes a big difference. Your goalie, you never know how they're going to be from day to day.
I was more just using that as my test subject.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. I'm just expounding on that a little bit. But yeah, mm-hmm. I do generally agree with you, especially with other sports. Baseball
football, definitely. Is a big one. Football too.
Football definitely, since it's only one game, mm-hmm. you know, it's a single game elimination. So I definitely agree with that. But I see that you're putting your next pick on here for the Connecticut Sun Minnesota Lynx game.
Easy pick for me, Minnesota Lynx. I don't think it's going to be close. I feel like the Lynx are the best team in the league, to counter your last week point of the Aces being the best team. I feel like a conversation can be had about the best team in the league, but I think it's the Lynx. I went into week, you know.
We'll find out here who the best team in the league is soon, right?
You know? That's true. That's true.
I am also on the Lynx. I don't think, as with Asia, I don't think that Nafisa can be stopped either.
No, she's too damn good. She's too damn good.
And I know this is like kind of a revenge match for Connecticut, mm-hmm. but I still believe that Minnesota is just the better team.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty good. Those pretty good predictions. I'm not upset about those predictions. I feel like I was.
Let us know your predictions for the second round of the W
The second, I feel like the second round is going to be really, really good. I'm actually really excited for the finals too. But moving into some NBA news, I got a few injuries, some retirements, some extensions. Kawhi Leonard,
a little bit of a mixed bag.
Kawhi Leonard, Clippers, is being held out of training camp. With knee surgery, which, I mean, we kind of all saw that coming from last season. He kind of was starting to shut down a little bit, and he didn't participate in the Olympics because of his knee. So this is not a shocker to me at all.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can tell when, you know, something's coming like this. Mm-hmm. They start slowing down, they start playing not as great. But it's my understanding he's been held out of training camp. Maybe a couple days of practice, you know, like preseason. But then come regular season time, he should be good to go. Maybe miss the first game. But mm-hmm. other than that, he should be good to go. So that'd be good for the Clippers.
Yeah. And for the Philadelphia 76ers, Embiid signs a three-year, $193 million extension. One of three biggest contracts
Yeah, so I mean, they massive deal on getting their new arena, and now massive deal on basically their star player, right? Mm-hmm. So,
gotta trust the process sometimes.
One of the three biggest contracts in NBA history. I almost said NHL history. NBA history. So glad for him. Well, I guess we'll have to see what the 76ers do this year.
Yeah.
If anything.
Well, probably choking in the playoffs.
Probably be the 76ers.
Toronto Raptors. Vince Carter, number 15 to be retired, November 2nd. First in franchise history.
Yeah, so very happy for the Raptors. I mean, it's not very often that a franchise gets to retire their first ever number, so that's pretty cool. I think this is like their 30th year or something, or they just had their 30th year?
I believe so.
As a franchise? Yeah. So, that's super cool. And congrats to Vince Carter, too, of course. Obviously, great, great selection to be the first to retire.
No, absolutely. And to round us off for NBA news, Derrick Rose retires after 15 seasons. His knees just gave out.
Yeah, so this was originally we had this on, this got put on the notes and then it got removed and changed.
Yep.
He was originally added to waivers. He was put on waivers by Timberwolves, right? He played. Okay, that's what I thought. Minnesota. For the Timberwolves. Ugh. And I think he just kind of realized, hey, you know, with my knees, with them waving me, it's kind of just done. It's time to leave.
It's over.
And he said he wants to. He's done focusing on basketball. He feels fulfilled, and he's ready to go focus on his family.
Good for him. I mean, nice career, good career. You know, Chicago Bulls there for a long time. Moved around. Good for him. Good career.
Yeah, I definitely would not be disappointed with it if I was him.
No, not a Hall of Fame guy, but you know, definitely a good career.
No, definitely. Maybe Hall of Fame for. The team Hall of Fame, you know.
Chicago Bulls Hall of Fame, yeah.
But not NBA Hall of Fame for probably not.
He won't be here in Springfield, that's for sure, I don't think. So
no.
Dolan named captain, Buffalo Sabres, moving into some hockey news.
Yeah, so this actually just came out pretty much right before we started recording. I happened to catch it.
Yeah.
This was the obvious choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, who else is going to be Tage Thompson, maybe? But at the same time, like, I don't think they're completely sold 100% on him, obviously not being the captain.
Right.
So Rasmus here was the obvious choice.
I think so. I think that Dolan is a great player. I think that the Sabres have absolutely made the right choice.
Yeah. Who else is making the right choice is a lot of these teams that we're about to fire off these signings for.
Yeah.
So first up, We have the Devils, Mercer signing 3x4. He's going to be, it's a little bridge contract, but not actually a bridge contract because he'll still be an RFA with 1 year remaining after the end of this. Winnipeg extended Cole Perfetti, 2x6.5. I think Jalen, is it Jalen Gunther? I think it's Jalen Gunther.
I think so.
Excuse me if I'm wrong with that. Jalen Gunther with the Utah Hockey Club, 8x7.14. Kyle O'Connor with Colorado, extended 6x2.5. What do we think about these?
I think that they are honestly really good for each player. I feel like that they each got paid what they're worth. I feel like they definitely earned their worth. You know, for each one, I feel like Mercer, you know, getting to be an RFA after 1 year is kind of a bridge contract, like you said, a little bit of a bridge. But, you know, I feel like Perfetti, Gunther, you know, O'Connor, I feel like all of them kind of earned these contracts.
Yeah, definitely a couple, you know, a couple depth signings here with Mercer and O'Connor. And then obviously Winnipeg wanting to lock up Perfetti. Like, why wouldn't you want to lock him up, you know? And that was one of the outstanding contracts that were RFA contracts that we were still kind of waiting on to see how that one settled.
Yeah.
Got settled over the weekend, I believe. And Gunther's a little bit of an odd signing to me. That's a lot of money and a long time for someone who I would say has yet to prove themselves. It's kind of a pay now, prove later instead of a prove now, pay later, you know?
I'll talk about this during our preview central a little bit. about what I think about the Utah Hockey Club. But before we get there, Shatterskin looking for 10.5 mil for his extension. Is that a lot?
Shatterskin. I'm going to start calling him that.
I love calling him Shatterskin.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
I've always called him that.
So, I mean, everybody saw how he played in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Igor is just amazing. There's no way around it.
I will just say, for all of you out there who are like, who the hell is Shatterskin? It's Shesterkin.
Yeah, so 10.5 mil, honestly, I think he earns it. I think that's good.
For the Rangers, yeah. I feel like for me that might be a little much, depending on how long the extension is, but honestly, not bad money.
So this is gonna kind of segue into the next point as well, because we're looking at both of the goalies that need contracts right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this is kind of a market setting for money, whereas the next one is kind of a market set for money, but more so like the term and mm-hmm. just the quality, you know. Like, everybody knows that Shesterkin is good.
I want to ask you this question, because this is going to lead into the next point. Swayman and the Bruins agree on an 8-year contract, right? Salaries to be determined. Swayman wants 9.5. Bruins want 8. If Shatterskin does get 10.5 mil on his extension, does Swayman change his mind on how much he gets paid?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think he does, but I think the Bruins have to pay him 9.5 then, or at least close to it.
If the salary hasn't been agreed upon and they do not sign him before Shesterkin signs, they're going to be in a boatload of trouble.
So as far as I know, there's no rush on this Shesterkin one as well. Like, he, mm-hmm. he doesn't really care when it gets done. He just wants whenever.
It. Yeah.
Right. So, and I don't know what the term looks like for him. I would have to imagine it's at least 6 years, right? Because he's young still.
6-7 years. I would even put him up to 8.
I would even put him up to 8. If they could do 8, 10.5, like, he continues to stand on his head like he did this year, this is going to be highway robbery, basically.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Going into those last couple of years. but then Swayman, I think, yeah, the 8 years, I mean, we all kind of knew that was coming, right? I think the 8x8 offer from Bruins. That's about where I originally had him, I think. And I don't disagree with that. If you're signing a lot of years, I think you can definitely come down in money.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why Swayman wants 9.5. He wants to keep that status quo mm-hmm. for goalies of the future. Same with Shesterkin. That's what they're both trying to do. And they've been very open about that.
Yeah.
I think this maybe lands... $9.25 million
I could see it. If Swayman wants 9.5, Bruins wanting 8, I could see them landing on 8.75, 9.25.
The only thing that concerns me, but obviously, I mean, regardless of how much they pay him, they're going to make this work. But the Bruins only have 8.6 in cap right now.
That's nice. So they'll have to restructure.
They're going to have to deal something, waiver somebody, mm-hmm. send somebody down, something somewhere to get the rest of that money if they do pay him more than the 8.6. So
I guess we'll see where it kind of lands.
They could just trade Korpisalo once they sign him.
Probably. So, anyway. two injuries, sort of injuries. One, Evander Kane. He's going to miss the start of the season. He's getting, he just actually had surgery. And the other one is Willy? I don't know how you would say that. Hyanola. For the Winnipeg Jets has an infection on his surgery site. So a little too double whammy surgery. One is dealing post and the other one's got an infection in his ankle.
So we knew this Kane one was going to be a while, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody was kind of thinking it was going to be a little Vegas Golden Knights action here with the Capster convention, but that's just not going to be the case. It's going to be it's a hard January, February. And then he'll be back and they'll have to, you know, I think they have the space for him right now. I think they kept that space to make sure that they had it for him, knowing that it wasn't going to be that long. But Heinola is just, this is rough, right? Because he got that surgery last season, was out for the majority, if not all of it. And now it comes back that he has this infection in the surgery. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure this was a bone surgery, too. So this is infection in the bone. And this is just really...
not good.
Like, this is one of those injuries where you start to worry a little bit, right? I mean, I'm sure it's all going to work out because they have doctors and physicians and whatever that know what they're doing. But this is tough for the Jets. This is tough.
It's rough. It for sure is. But I guess we'll see, you know, kind of where it leads. And just hope for the best for a young guy like that.
Speaking of not of young guys,
this next little bit of news, I know that you definitely put this on here. This definitely has you written all over it. So would you like to take the floor on this one?
Yeah, so I tossed this on there. I just happened to come across this statistic here. But Robert Thomas is now 85 points away from being the second Blues player ever to reach 400 points. The current leader of points is Federko with 449, which we all know what kind of player he was. Thomas will be 26 this coming July. So... definitely a lot of years left. I think he gets it this season.
He could get it this season. 85
I expect the Blues to be, we're going to get into this more obviously as well. I expect the Blues, they were a 90 point team last year. I expect them to maybe even be a 100 point team this year. For sure high 90s. So I think he could easily hit 85 at that point. I mean, first line, they're currently looking at him, Kyrou, and Zach Bolduc, actually the rookie from last year, sitting on that top line. So if that ends up being the case, I think, I mean, Zach's got crazy shot that he's been working on, and Kyrou, I think, finds his stride this year finally. So I think for sure. I mean, most of these will be apples, right? You know, just a nice little pass over to Kyrou for the one timer or whatever, but
So, I agree with you, but some quick little fun news. Jaromír Jágr, longtime KHL, NHL player, retires finally. I felt like that guy was playing forever. Age 52, same age as Howe is when he was retired. Man, I thought he was going to play forever.
Yeah, so this is his last season in the KHL that I think they just started.
I think so.
During the summer. So this is his last season. He says he's finally done. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it as well. Okay.
He said that like how many times?
Yeah, no kidding. In other news, Columbus Blue Jackets, Rick Nash named director of hockey ops. Thoughts?
I mean, I love this. I love Rick Nash.
I love it too. I freaking love Rick Nash. I've loved him for a long time. That man is amazing.
And I mean, definitely a hero in the Columbus organization.
Absolutely.
So, this is great. I love that. I love this for the Blue Jackets. I love this for Rick Nash.
Yeah, no, for sure. And before we get into the central preview here, Senators reach new deal on an arena.
Yeah, so this is super exciting. The Senators will be getting their new arena soon. They finally got the details. Obviously, they're working with the government to, you know, hash out all the other stuff. But from what I've heard, the government's being very cooperative from a government standpoint. You know, it's not slow moving. It's at a steady pace. And, you know, they're very involved and whatnot. So this is great. I hear it's about 20 minutes farther from the city from where it was now. But it's going to be basically just like out in its own area. They can build a whole complex, whatnot with it. So it'll be great for the players for sure. And then hopefully the Sens fans like it as well.
have a whole setup. That'd be great.
Yeah. Especially right when they're starting to, you know, get out of this rebuild and hit their stride a little bit.
According maybe. To you, they failed that maybe. Rebuild.
But maybe. We'll see.
Anyways, so, Mr. Pop-Tart.
It's time.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm so not ready because this is going to be the... For you folks that don't realize, just take a look at the teams. Well, actually, you won't have to take a look because you're about to hear it.
Yeah.
At the teams in the Central Division for the NHL. And this is about to be the hardest preview
maybe
that we've done.
I think maybe more for you. I feel like me, I'm pretty steadfast on who I think is going to win that division.
Would you say that the Atlantic was the hardest for you then?
No, maybe. I think that this is definitely the toughest division, but I think that also makes it the easiest.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I think all right, so. Well, lay it on me then. Lay it on me.
Oh, I'll you want first. Me to go first? Okay.
I think I went first last week.
No, I think I did. I think I went
first. Okay, well, whatever. Week. You're going first. I'll go first for the Pacific.
All right. I'll take that deal. So, with the Central Division, it is so easy for me to sit here and say, man... Especially with the sort of realignment, because we all know who is being added to this division.
And well,
kind by of God, well, sort of partial realignment, you're right. But by God, are they awful? You can take hockey out of Arizona, but you cannot take Arizona out of hockey. The Utah Hockey Club are absolutely going to come in last place. No faith in this team.
Oh my God.
No faith at all. Their first goal was an own goal.
This tell isn't even me, the on the heater hot take of the week.
Tell
yet.
Me this team is not cursed without telling this team is not cursed.
Oh my
God. I think that they are absolutely going to suck it up in this division this year. But just get ready because we're just getting started. I think just behind them is Chicago. I don't think the Blackhawks added enough. They were in last place last year with 52 points, I believe. I feel like they, you know, lost a lot, added a little, and are in too strong of a division to really make it. But I feel like, you know, with Utah, you could probably swap them. It's a 7-8 right there. That's one or the other. There is no in between. Coming in next, this is where it gets hard, right? Because from here on, I feel like any of these teams could be playoff contenders.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like coming in this slot, we're going to see the Minnesota Wild into the sixth slot. I feel like in terms of top teams, they don't quite meet the register of who is on top right there. Now, I'm just going to rapid fire right through because I feel like if I sit on these, I'm not going to be able to make a choice. So
boom, and then come back and recap.
Nashville, number 5. Number 4, we got the Avs. Colorado. Number 3, we got St. Louis. Number 2, we have Winnipeg. And number 1 is Dallas. I think that, man, I look at that list and I'm like, damn, am I really sure about that?
You're going to be even more unsure when I go through my list.
Listen, I mean, mine is a gut feeling. You know, I know from your standpoint, you take it more analytically than perhaps I do. I really look at last season.
This is my division.
It is your division, too. I look at the teams. I look at what they added. I look at their last season. I look at who they lost. And I kind of take a breath, and then take a guess. You know, we can go up and down about... You know, oh, they added this piece and this is what he'll do and this is his point projection all day long. But, you know, I can't see the future. I can only guess the future. And I feel like you know, when we look at it, Dallas, Winnipeg, St. Louis, Colorado, Nashville, Minnesota, Chicago, Utah, I feel like, you know, save Chicago and Utah flipping, I feel like this is probably going to end up being what it is. And I'm going to give you an on-a-heater take right now, Kiwi. I think both wildcard teams come out of the Central.
All right. Well, first of all, you stole that from me.
I did not steal that from you. I definitely did also think that, but I'm just stating it as an on-a-heater take.
You beat me to it because you got to go first.
I did. Well, hey, you shouldn't have let me go first. That's all
I'm
saying.
True.
That's on you. That's on you, dog. That's on you.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Here it comes. Lay it on me. Let's go. Let's go.
All right, so number eight, I have the Chicago Blackhawks. I think at this point they're just adding some pieces for Connor Bedard to actually be able to play with. Mm. I don't think they're still expecting to be crazy. I don't think they finish overall nearly as bad as they did last year, right?
Yeah. 52 points in that division.
I can see them probably maybe like mid to high 20s placement finish. I mean, there's going to be a few teams they're going to beat out. I think there's some divisions that definitely just have worse teams in them now. We're going to get into a couple of those teams next week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they're at this point, they're just trying to give Bedard some stuff to play with in the meantime until they kind of round out the rest of this rebuild. Mm-hmm. At number seven, I have the Utah Hockey Club. I think this is going to be a trial season, more or less, for them. I don't think they're quite ready yet. I think they have the players. I think they have the talent to do it, but in a new arena. Let me preface this. They finished as the Coyotes with 77 points last year. This is an 80-point team.
Yeah, they're not good.
Mid-80s, probably. So definitely a couple more wins in there. They probably a positive win record. Rather than negative. So I think this is definitely going to be a solid team, but with the division that they're playing in, I don't foresee them getting much higher than that. Number six, I actually am going to put the Winnipeg Jets.
Ooh, okay.
I don't have any faith in this team. I know that they played obviously outstanding last year. And don't get me wrong, I think these top six positions are 1,000,000% anywhere from 90 to 100 plus points, all of these teams. So it's not going to be bad by any means, but it's in the division that they're in, I think they're going to falter a little bit. I think a lot of these other teams bolstered up, whereas they kind of just held. They didn't make a lot of changes in the offseason. Number five, I actually have the Colorado Avalanche. I think they're going to slide a little bit with whatever's going on with Nichushkin. And who knows if we see... oh my gosh. I'm blanking on their captain's name.
I can't remember.
We talked about him the other week.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Anyways, I'll think of it in a second, but I completely forgot. But I think they're still a little shaky. I don't trust Georgiev at all. I mean, that's the most volatile goalie in the league, I feel like. He can get in his own head, or he could be better than freaking Game 7, literally physically backflipping through the air. Landeskog, thank you. Backflipping through the air, Bobrovsky, right? So, yeah, I just don't trust him enough. Number four, I actually have the... See, this is where you get hung up a little bit. My three and four can definitely be interchangeable here. I'm going to put number four for right now. I'm going to put as the St. Louis Blues.
Okay.
I believe in my Blues this year. I think they're going to start pulling it together finally. We're going to finally make our way out of this retool. But I still don't quite think we have all of the pieces quite there yet, quite ready to go. Give us maybe another year after this year. and I think we'll be pretty much ready to go. We'll be ready to be a top competitor. But for now, I think we have enough to sustain and enough to sneak into the playoffs. Because like you said, there's five teams going into the playoffs out of this division. Mm-hmm. It's the top three and the two wild card slots all coming out of here. So I definitely think that's going to happen. Number three obviously puts me at the Minnesota Wild. I think that they're finally doing it. They're finally getting there. And next year, like the Blues, they're going to be even better. I foresee one of these teams getting dethroned next year, which we'll go into that when the time comes.
Time arises,
And Minnesota has cap money to spend. finally. But, I mean, it's hard to argue against Kaprizov. It's hard to argue against Fleury. It's hard to argue against Faber, Eriksson Ek. I mean, just literally just start listing off their roster and you're going to be like, wow, what the heck? All these players still play there. Mm. And you're like, yeah. It's kind of it's very much a Detroit vibe, but like never a they've been out of the rebuild. Like these are more like settled into their role. They're all settled into their roles and whatnot. Mm. Coming in at number two, I will have the Nashville Predators. That makes me want to throw up in my mouth. But I think there is no arguing what this Nashville Predators team is. Yusei Saros is going to be amazing. They have Stammer. They have Forsberg. They have... It's loaded. They're not top heavy. They have some depth. I think it's going to be... This is a big playoff contender this year, as opposed to last year when they kind of just, you know, found their stride and snuck in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna compete this year for sure. And then that rounds me off at number one with the Dallas Stars. I mean, it's the same team. It's the same team with more depth, to be honest.
They're damn good.
They're too consistent. There's too much depth. They're too battle hardened. Mm-hmm. There's no chance they lose this division unless somebody surprises me, which it's going to have to be either the Predators, the Wild, or the Blues. So, or maybe the Avs, who knows? But I think they're just too solid. They're going to hold rock. They're going to hold rock and steady up at the top. I mean, it's hard to look at the Stars and say that they aren't going to be first.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
Which also makes me throw up.
It makes me hate it. And we'll talk about President's Trophy winners next week after we cover the Presidents. Right before the start of the regular season next Friday, October 4th. Which, yep. I can't believe is already that close. It's insane.
Oh, I'm so ready. I'm so ready.
So, Kiwi, I think it's time. On heat or hot take of the week.
Cue the air horn and the lightsabers and
the bow, 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 bow.
Cue the goal horn.
On a heater hot take of the week is a long one. I will try not to take up too much of your time here, Kiwi. But
that's all right. Mine's much shorter. Much shorter.
I am sick and tired of first round quarterbacks. I am exhausted of them. I am pissed off about them. I want to talk about them. What is the right way to treat a first round quarterback? Do you put him in and subject him to get hit and just get destroyed because you cannot put an offensive line together because you're a shitbag program? Or do you let him sit for a year, a la Aaron Rodgers and or Jordan Love, or name your quarterback? Those are just two Green Bay guys off the top of my head. And just see what he's got after he's been developed. If these guys are coming out of college in the first round, they should be pro ready. You should not be drafting a quarterback in the first round and saying, he needs a few years to marinate. I don't feel like that's how they should be treated. I think you got to get guys out there. And if guys need to get, you know, pro reps, then they need to get their fucking pro reps. And if they're not getting their pro reps, they're never going to be pro ready. Because you can only do so much in practice. So what is the right way to treat a first round quarterback? And if you do take them in the first round, do you throw them out there like some of these guys this year? Or do you let them sit behind somebody who's a veteran guy and let them learn like some other guys this year? So, Mr. Pop-Tart, I prepped the list for you. Had to take a drink of water right there to prep myself. I went the last 6 years, and you egged me on to go to the last 7 years, going back to 2017, of first-round quarterbacks taken. I am going to list them off for you year by year, and you are going to tell me if they benefited from playing immediately or sitting behind somebody. All right?
Yeah, this year's going to be the toughest one because a couple of these people haven't played and a couple of these people yet to play out here.
So we are going back to 2017. First pick, second pick, first round.
Old. Okay, we're starting old.
Mitchell Trubisky, Chicago Bears, benefited, yes or no?
No.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes, benefited, yes or no?
Yes.
Deshaun Watson, benefited, yes or no? Now, see, this is a hard one because
I think he's a completely different player than he used to be.
He is absolutely a different player than he used to be.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, I agree. He is yes. Because early on in Houston, Deshaun Watson was fantastic.
Was fantastic.
Everything we've seen from him in Cleveland, what the hell is going on?
The allegations, man. They change
him. They change him, man. 2018, Baker Mayfield, yes or no?
I'm going to say no.
Okay, interesting. So I think I'm also a no on Baker Mayfield, despite the fact that he was a fantastic quarterback for Cleveland for the short time he was there. I think he's been better with Tampa Bay than he ever was in Cleveland.
The allegations change him, man.
Sam Darnold, yes or no?
No.
Absolutely not. You know what's actually funny about Sam Darnold? It seems like the only people who hate Sam Darnold are the Jets.
Minnesota freaking loves him right now.
Carolina also loved him. And they let both Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield leave. How's that worked out for him?
Yeah.
Josh Allen, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely yes.
Absolutely yes. The thing about Josh Allen is when he came into the league, he really benefited from playing, absolutely, because if you remember, he couldn't throw a pass to save his life, but he had the arm. He had the running, but now
he just needed the accuracy.
Kind of got it all, it feels like. Might see an MVP year out of him if he keeps playing the way he's possibly playing. Josh Rosen, yes or no?
No, because I don't think he even plays anymore.
He's not even in the league anymore, I'm pretty sure. The man got ousted so fast in Arizona. How do you pick somebody first round, 10th overall, oust him like that? He didn't have it
at all.
Lamar Jackson, yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. He is also a yes. Look what he's been doing in the league. A lot of people didn't have faith in Lamar Jackson, but I mean, he's kind of turned it around. All right. 2019, Kyler Murray.
No.
I am also out on Kyler Murray. I feel like he is a waste of a first overall pick when there's a Call of Duty coming out. Daniel Jones, yes or no?
No.
Absolutely not. His pick to touchdown ratio says it all. Rest in peace, Dwayne Haskins, yes or no?
No.
No, I'm going to also say no. Too much of a journeyman. I feel like he could have had something in Pittsburgh, you know, but, you know, unfortunate circumstances. And again, rest in peace, Dwayne Haskins. But I'm also a no from his time in Washington. Drew Lock, Denver.
No.
No, absolutely not. Where even is he anymore? Is he in Seattle? I think he's in Seattle.
I think so, as a backup, yeah.
Yeah. losing his job to Geno Smith, of all people.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, yes or no?
Yes.
I agree. I think Joe Burrow is it for Cincinnati. I feel like there might be a case for a no. Maybe he needed to sit because of some of the injury stuff. But I feel like, you know, leading your team to a Super Bowl once and, you know, consistently sort of playoff-ish, I feel like has been good for him. I'm not even going to attempt the last name, but Tua.
Yes.
I also agree with that. He, when he is on the field and healthy, absolutely fantastic. Justin Herbert, yes or no?
Yes.
I agree with that one as well. I feel like Justin Herbert is an absolute hit, and he definitely benefited from, you know, sitting or playing. Jordan Love, yes or no?
Yes.
An absolute yes that he benefited from playing it behind Aaron Rodgers. I feel like when they drafted Jordan Love, and, you know, a lot of people were like, what the hell are they doing? He absolutely needed to sit to be a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts, yes or no?
I'm going to say yes on this one.
Okay. Interesting. I feel like Jalen Hurts is highly overrated. You know, people can take that as they will. But I feel like Jalen Hurts definitely needed to play. I don't think I remember him playing behind anybody for a little while there. But
well, he technically played behind what's his face when they went to the Super Bowl because he was.
Oh, there. You're right. You're right. He did in 2020. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. 2021, Trevor Lawrence.
No.
Absolutely not. He definitely needed, I feel like, a few more years. He was not pro ready. I feel like he's still not pro ready. Are we ready to punt on Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville?
I'm ready to.
I'm also ready. You're gonna love this next one. Zach Wilson.
No.
Your face expression says it all, and I'm not even going to go in on this. Trey Lance, yes or no?
Who?
Trey Lance. San Francisco.
No, I'm going to say no, because I recognize the name, but does he even play anymore? Is he the backup behind Purdy?
No, he's the backup in Dallas now, I think.
He's getting paid a lot of money to do nothing over there.
Justin Fields, Chicago.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think that is a pretty emphatic no, and I actually very much agree with you. I think that Justin Fields was not ready. I feel like he is just now coming into his own as a second chance quarterback with Pittsburgh, which is surprising to, I feel like, everybody. Mac Jones, New England, yes or no?
I think this is an irrelevant question. I think he just sucks either way.
He's bad. He's so bad. And all you idiots out there in Jacksonville, ooh, Mac Jones is better than you. Yeah? How you see that now, bitches? Huh? You see him at the end of the last game there? Yeah, okay, shut up. 2022, Kenny Pickett, Pittsburgh.
No.
I'm going to also say no on that one. And then your favorite, Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I guess.
He turned into a starter. Jimmy G, yeah, right? He did. Well, technically, sort of. For a few games, he sat behind Jimmy G and Trey Lance. But they both got injured in that same season. That's why he played. And then he just took the job from both of them.
Yeah, no kidding.
So good for Brock. I feel like it kind of worked out for him to sit for a little bit at the very least. Kenny Pickett, I feel like, needed to sit a little longer, marinate a little longer.
I will say, regardless of my opinions on Brock, I do think that him sitting did benefit him. So,
All right, 23 last year, Bryce Young. That's a hard one, isn't it?
It is a hard one.
Because you can look at Bryce
Young. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I think that he has improved starting out.
Yeah.
Because like we said last week, he's not the problem.
He's not. I don't think he is. I feel like it's ownership. I feel like it's coaching. I feel like it's up and down everybody else.
I feel like it's an offensive line.
Yep.
Lack thereof, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm going to say yes on Bryce Young.
Okay. CJ Stroud.
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely yes. Anthony Richardson.
Yes.
Okay. Will Levi.
Doesn't matter. He sucks.
he blows, bro. I will say a yeah.
I think I'm going to give him a yes, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's going to learn a lot by starting right now. And I mean, realistically, who's he going to be behind?
That's true. I mean,
if he could you imagine if he would have been sitting behind Marcus Mariota? Oh, Will Levis might have been actually a good quarterback.
He might have been pretty good. I mean, he might have been pretty good sitting behind Ryan Tannehill as well.
Yeah, honestly, yes. I would agree with that as well.
This year is going to be tougher. Caleb Williams.
I'm going to say yes, absolutely. And he's showing it every week. He's improving.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jaden Daniels.
Yes, absolutely.
Emphatic, yes. Drake May.
Can't comment on him.
Can't comment. He hasn't played.
He hasn't. But I'm gonna say yes to him sitting behind Brissett, though. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm gonna say yes.
I think
as an early indication.
I think that
without him actually playing,
saving May from that shitbag offensive line in New England, I feel like that it is benefiting.
I think it's a yes.
Michael Penix, Atlanta.
Haven't seen him really either.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say yes as well. I mean, you're learning behind Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I feel like you can't get really any better than that. This one is tough. J.J. McCarthy, Minnesota. He got injured, and now Sam Darnold's sort of usurped him.
So I don't even think it's necessarily the fact that that he has to sit behind Sam Darnold. The injury kind of
gave him
time to learn behind him, and I think... Yeah. The way that Sam Darnold is playing right now, I think this is a good thing. So I'm going to give him a yes as well, even though this is kind of a no contest here.
Mm-hmm. And last one, Bo Nix.
I'm going to say no. I feel like he needed to sit behind somebody.
I am also going to agree with that. But who are you going to have him sit behind when your locker room is Bo Nix and
Denver's a nightmare.
Who's the other one? Zach Wilson and somebody else who's a crap bag player.
Nathan Peterman. Nathan isn't it?
Peterman. I feel like I think he might also be on that team. So
it's somebody really bad for their third round. Or for their third slot.
It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, there's not an option for him to sit behind, but I think he needed to sit behind somebody.
He did.
I think he's going to be fine. But...
Jared Stidham.
Oh, Jared Stidham. Okay.
Yeah. Peterman's in Vegas, I think.
That's right. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
But, yeah, no. So, we went through the list. You know, you guys take my list, rip it up, rip it to shreds. Put your own spins on if you think these guys benefited or not from playing immediately, needing to sit behind somebody or not. But, what is the way to do this? Really? Because, you take a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, he sat for his first year, and look at him. He's amazing. You could also say the same thing about, a couple other guys, but you could also say the complete opposite. Jaden Daniels this year, CJ Stroud last year, and this year, a lot of these guys come out and light the league up, or they just kind of fizzle out, and then we have second chance quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, running around the league and doing amazing jobs in new markets. So does playing immediately help your case? And what if you play on a bad team, you get your shit rocked, now you're gun shy, you turn into a Sam Darnold, journeyman, and then all of a sudden your head gets put on straight, you get with a coach who loves you, and then you start lighting up the league the way you're supposed to be. So that's my on a heater take. I wanted to cover that I don't think the NFL is treating their rookie quarterbacks the right way. I'm done.
And I'm gonna kind of wrap that whole thing up by saying I don't think there is any downside to a rookie quarterback sitting their first year behind a veteran quarterback.
I agree with that.
Regardless of who you are, I think you can learn by just watching.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can learn by playing as well, but I think if you watch for a year, you play for a year, by the time you're out of your sophomore slump and you're into year three, I think you're a much better quarterback to show for it. And by then, you've given the team also 2+ years to kind of build towards you, mm-hmm.
I agree.
But I guess that brings me into my on a heater hot take of the week.
Oh, boy.
And that is that Patrick Mahomes is ruining the NFL. I almost said NHL again.
I heard that one.
Is ruining the NFL, specifically the quarterbacks. So this is a quarterback on heater takes week, apparently.
Yeah.
But I am a firm believer that Patrick Mahomes came into the league at a time when a lot of veterans were on their way out, the veterans of the past. He has ushered in a new age to the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And I think that unfortunately, with him being the star that he is right out of the gate and kind of leading that group, he has ruined the quarterbacks since then and their expectations. I think they all come in to expect to be him. Everybody comes in to, and I'm not trying to Chris Collinsworth him here, let me preface that. Everybody comes in expecting to be him, the next Patrick Mahomes, and all of these teams are expecting to be drafting the next Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think they should be, because just going over your list, I mean, look at the quarterbacks we've had since Patrick Mahomes that are not him, that are doing just fine, that these other quarterbacks should be looking up to. Mm-hmm. Well, Baker Mayfield right now, Sam Darnold right now, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, we'll skip over 2019, Joe Burrow, mm-hmm. Tua when he doesn't have a concussion, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, I even would lump Jalen Hurts in there, even though we're not the biggest on him. He's very talented.
I'd put him in.
We'll skip over 2021. We'll skip over 2022. I mean, I guess you could toss Brock Purdy in there. CJ Shroud, mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, like, this obviously this year it's still yet to be seen, but I would even toss Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels in there as too early.
I'd put Jaden Daniels in there. I'd put him
too
in.
Early, almost too early to tell kind of people that players are going to look up to.
Yeah.
However, look at all of the ones that I skipped over,
mm-hmm.
that have been including. Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson, who were both, I mean, say what you want about Deshaun Watson, but who were both drafted the same year as Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think he's ruined the quarterbacks in this league. And I think it's going to take a long time of healing from Mahomes while he's in the league. And then maybe a couple years after that, to kind of reset the quarterback norm again and maybe get less expectations. But at the same time, who knows? I mean, Jaden Daniels could reset it right now.
It's true. He could reset
it. Caleb Williams could hit his stride and get an offensive line and reset it right now. You never know. So,
I mean, for all we know, I mean, even Sam Darnold could turn around and be a franchise quarterback.
I mean, I think anybody, if you're looking at this list that you have procured here,
mm-hmm.
of the most recent, we'll say 4 years. We'll start with 2021, because I think that 2020 draft class is just was way too good.
Yeah, I think
to
it
include
was.
Them. But in the most recent four drafts, I think if you're looking at your superstars, you have CJ Shroud.
And I think so.
That's about it. So. Like, you definitely have some star quarterbacks in there and some good players.
Yeah.
But CJ Stroud is the superstar out of that, and that's it.
I think so.
And that's the Patrick Mahomes effect.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Which ties into yours, because I think they're rushing a lot of these people in when they shouldn't be.
I tend to agree.
Because they want them to be Patrick Mahomes. So that's our On the Heater hot takes of the week. We'll be moving into our sports bets now, which
DraftKings.
This will be interesting. Obviously, as always, we are not financial or betting advisors. So please make bets at your own risk.
Gamble responsibly.
Yes.
But my bet for the week for the NFL, I have touchdown stars, a parlay, Justin Jefferson, Breece Hall, David Montgomery, Derrick Henry, and Kyren Williams, all of them anytime touchdown scorers. I just feel like it's a good bet, a nice safe bet. I feel like all those guys are consistent scorers. I forgot to get the odds for...
That's okay. I think I recall the odds for your
both
second one.
Of mine. But I just feel like overall, through and through, you know, some of those guys as soon as my DraftKings open up, so I can actually just tell you what it is.
While you're doing that, let me go into my football one real quick.
Yep.
I have Lights Kamara action at plus 1,700. That's Alvin Kamara to score 2+ touchdowns, Breece Hall to score a touchdown, and Bijan Robinson to score a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. 1420 plus 1427 for mine, by the way.
It's pretty solid there.
Yeah.
All right, you want to get into our little spicy here.
A little
instead
extra,
of doing
extra.
A baseball one this week, we did a WNBA one.
So mine's a little bit of a wait. So you know, take this one at your own risk. Mine's called a three-peat. Which I literally just had DraftKings open, but I'm an idiot and I don't look at the odds. It's
okay.
I think it's like plus 600 or something like that.
No, it's higher than that.
Is it higher than
I'm pretty sure it's 2600.
Is it 2600?
I think it was high.
Anyway, it's called the three-peat, and you can guess why it's called the three-peat, because it is the Las Vegas Aces and it is the Kansas City Chiefs. Are both going back to back at champion. It is plus 1825 right now. And I think that probably changed because the Aces went into the next round. But
it is. Oh, yeah. 1825. Yeah.
But yeah. Vegas Aces, Kansas City Chiefs, back to back to back champs.
So, I hope one of those happens and that the other one doesn't even get close.
Yeah. Same. Anyway,
and I'm not Chris Collinsworth, so
what you got?
I, for mine, have Nafisia Collier to score 25 plus points against Connecticut in, I believe it's Saturday.
Is it Saturday game? I believe it is Saturday's game.
I think it's I believe it's a Saturday's game, and that is a plus 125.
That's not bad. So not a bad little bit, you know, considering she just put up 42.
That's my thoughts exactly.
So that's a good bet. I think all of these are good bets. And once again,
yeah.
DraftKings for all your betting needs, not sponsored yet, but you know, hey, check them out, tell them we sent you, and maybe we'll get a sponsorship here eventually.
Right, no kidding. I think that's about all from us today. Hope everybody enjoyed,
and you know, again, be sure to check us out, you know, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Prime Podcast, you know, wherever you might watch, listen, you know, be sure to like, comment, subscribe where applicable.
We also have the Twitter X buzzing right now and the TikTok, so make sure you go check us out on TikTok.
It's true.
It's uploading daily over there with some spicy clips.
On a heater pod
on TikTok. Yep.
Anywhere we're not just on a heater, it's on a heater pod. So,
but I that's it. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, we're not rambling, so be free.